Now we're going to read in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And don't get discouraged if you've invited people along to these meetings and they haven't yet come. The reality is that life is like a hamster wheel for many people. I used to love our hamster. But one thing I remember about our hamster is that it would get on that little wheel and it would spin around and round and round and round. And every once in a while, it would get off the hamster wheel and it would stand on its hind leg and put its paws up like this. And you can see the little whiskers on his nose twitching back and forth. And then you get back on the hamster wheel. And you know, life is like a hamster wheel sometimes. Just go round and round and round and round. It's hard to get people to get off the hamster wheel and to think long term. A lot of people just want to live one day at a time and not think ahead. The Bible says in Amos chapter 5, prepare to meet your God. That's what these sessions are about. Encouraging people, pleading with people to be prepared. You're not prepared to live until you're prepared to die. And as someone else has said, make sure the only thing that you have to do at the end of life is die. Must be an awful thing to approach death and have some outstanding business to attend to. So we're going to read some verses tonight, John chapter 4. And there's a great quest on. This lady, often spoken about, she lived an empty life, a life of brokenness. She had tried different men in her life, and they had all failed her, disappointed her. And then she came out one day to the well, and she met the man who changed her life forever. The Lord Jesus Christ specializes in that. It's a specialty, changing lives forever. She went back into the town to tell all the men of the city about this wonderful man she met at the well. And they came out to see him. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, Jesus' own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Savior of the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy. And the word Savior is going to be in each of these readings. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Save or Savior. And verse 15. This is a faithful saying that worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul added, of whom I am chief. Savior of the world, John chapter 4, Savior of sinners, 1 Timothy 1. Now Matthew chapter 27. The Lord Jesus is hanging on the cross. And there are people that are saying some very nasty things to Christ as he hangs there in pain and shame and humiliation. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others. himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Verse 42 says, he saved others. And it's true. Savior of others. Now one more reading. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, this is Mary, the mother of our Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. My Savior. Savior of the world, John chapter 4. Savior of sinners, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Savior of others, Matthew chapter 27. And my Savior, Luke chapter 1, verse 47. Now, we're going to pop a quiz tonight. We're going to do a little exam. We're not going to put anyone on the spot. We're not going to ask you for your answers. But sometimes it's a little confusing to know where we are spiritually and how we rank with God. And this exam tonight might help everyone sort things out a little bit. People say, you know, well, really, it's my business. It's a personal matter. My relationship with God, and it is definitely a personal matter. And it is a most personal matter. No one else can attend to this matter other than you yourself. Your parents might be able to make doctor's appointments for you. They might be able to go and intercede to the school principal to give you another break and another crack at the exam. Your parents might be able to do things for you. But when it comes to your soul salvation and your relationship with God, it is a very, very personal matter. Only you yourself can work through this great eternal matter. And so the exam tonight goes like this. There's four levels of understanding or four levels of appreciation of Christ. We read them. Savior of the world, Savior of sinners, Savior of others, and my Savior. Would it surprise you if I told you only one of those answers will take you personally to heaven? Only one. And we're going to go over them, and we're going to see where you are in relation to this. You need to sort out, what does Jesus Christ mean to me? Now, you don't read about levels in the Bible, just for the ease of communicating this message. I'm going to call them level 4, level 3, level 2, level 1. But you don't read that in the Bible, but you do read these verses in the Bible. Thank God he is the Savior of the world. That's what the men of Samaria, the city, concluded. He is the Savior of the world. And that's what thrills me about this gospel message. I haven't traveled very far. Mr. Dirksen has traveled further, and maybe you have traveled even further than he has. But look it, we can with confidence go to any place, not just Kamloops. I'm from Prince Edward Island. We can go anywhere in Canada, from Canada to China, from Brazil to Baghdad, from Argentina to Africa. We can go any place in the world and we can tell them that Christ is the Savior of the world. Savior for the world. No matter who you are, no matter what your language is, no matter your culture, he is the Savior of the world. a lot of people living in the world. I just checked, Googled it just before I came here. I wanted to see what the population was as of right now. And it's set, according to one world population clock, 7.1 billion and a few as of 6 o'clock this evening. 7.1 billion. Now, I wasn't sure that that was accurate, so I checked another population world clock, and it was 6.9 billion. Well, it's give or take a few million. That's the vicinity. And you know what? We can go to any of those people, 7 billion people anywhere on the planet, and we can open our Bibles and we can say, He is the Savior of the world. Anywhere. And it's thrilling to think of what Christianity has done around the world. People say, well, there have been a lot of bad things done under the name of Christ and Christianity. Yes, and you only hear about the bad mess-ups. But wherever Christ and Christianity has been faithfully preached around the world, down through the ages, it has had a profound impact all around the world. Christianity, you don't have to hang your head in shame when people say, are you a Christian? Yes, there have been a few colossal blunders by some individuals and by some religions and some churches under the umbrella of Christ. But you don't have to be embarrassed of preaching Christ. The gospel hall could fail. It already once went up in smoke. But something else could happen and disappoint you. But our faith is not on a church or in a church. Not in the gospel hall. Our faith is in Christ alone. And wherever Christ has been faithfully preached, wonderful things have happened. It has put an end to many of the dark and depraved practices around the world. Demoralizing practices. Christianity, where it has prospered and flourished, has positively impacted on the lives of children. Where Christianity has been held up and honored, the role of women and the respect in society for women has increased exponentially. They're treated with respect. Education, the founding Ivy League universities in the world, so well known, Harvard and all those places. Where did they come from? Christians. I used to be in the healthcare system. Worked there. Did you know the first hospitals were established by Christians? And so around the world we can say, Christ is the Savior of the world. And you know, people in Kamloops, I don't know, I've never been celebrated Christmas here, but I'm sure there's still a good number of people in Kamloops and they sing at Christmas time, Christ the Savior is born. They could sing that Christmas carol and never be in heaven. Because of all the people, if this is all they know, that He's a Savior of the world, that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Citizens may believe that their neighbor has a very good fire department that is available to all. But that doesn't mean they've been personally rescued. That they've had a personal experience where a firefighter rescued them. All the difference in the world, isn't it? In your level of appreciation of a fire department. Yes, we love our volunteer fire department and all of those things. But if in 2011 you were rescued by a firefighter, my, you'd have that person's picture on your mantelpiece. You'd be sending him Christmas cards, Easter cards, birthday cards, Father's Day cards, or mother, if it was a female firefighter, a Mother's Day card. I don't know what you'd be sending her. But oh, the appreciation when you've been personally rescued. And so, the level four is Savior of the world. Wonderful to know that. Wonderful to preach it. But if that's all you know about the Savior, you are not going to heaven. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's what excites me. That He did come into the world to save sinners. And anywhere and talk to anybody, regardless of their lifestyle. They might live up in the mountaintop in those big palaces, or they might live in a shabby old hut. But you can tell them that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Carl Rabieder, you may have seen his name in the news a year or two ago. He was looking for happiness. He was a multimillionaire living in Austria, and he made the news big time all around the world. He got tired of his pursuit of happiness, and he couldn't find it. It seemed to be such an elusive commodity. And where it really struck home to him, he and his wife were over in Hawaii. And they, if anyone could afford a luxurious vacation, it was them. And they were at the 5-star level, flat out. And it just hit him one day, and they were dining. He said, it was the biggest shock, and I'm quoting him, it's the biggest shock of my life when I realized how horrible, soulless, and without feeling the 5-star lifestyle is. He said, in those 3 weeks, we spent all the money you could possibly spend. But in all that time, we had the feeling we hadn't met a single real person, that we were all just actors. He said, the staff played the role of being friendly. Oh, so happy to serve you. Thrilled. And he said, the guests played the role of being important, and nobody was real. He said, for a long time, I believed that more wealth and luxury automatically meant more happiness. So he went home, empty, aching void in his heart, and he sold everything. He sold his 3,500 square foot villa on the lake, sauna, spectacular mountain view overlooking the Alps. He sold his old stone farmhouse, his collection of 6 gliders. He sold his luxury cars. He sold his interior furnishings and all his artwork. He sold it all, and he moved into a cabin. I read about it, and I thought, that poor man, a cabin isn't going to meet his need either. And so I started searching for Carl Rabieder. He obviously flew gliders. He must have been a part of a glider club. And I got to a glider club in Austria, and I wrote them. I said, I'm trying to track down Carl Rabieder. He sent me his email address, and I wrote Carl Rabieder. Do you know what I was so glad to be able to tell Carl Rabieder? You know what I told him? I said, Mr. Rabieder, I read that you gave away all of those things. And I said, look, at if you're ever going to find peace and happiness, go back and get your 3,500 square foot villa. Go back and reclaim your 6 gliders. You need all that stuff if you're ever going to be happy. You think I wrote that in my email? Not for a minute. I wrote him and told him about Jesus Christ. He wrote me back. Christ is a savior of the world. Christ is a savior of individual sinners. No matter what the sin is, or some awful sins that just are so disgusting and appalling. But you know what? I told one man down in Dunkerton, Iowa. He said, no, 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 he doesn't love me. He couldn't love me. I said, you know something? I said, have you ever tell a Billy Graham? Oh, he said, yeah. I'm like, who hasn't heard tell a Billy Graham? He said, he's one of the few that haven't had a mess up a big scandal. Yeah. I said, would it surprise you if I told you that God loves you every bit as much as he loves Billy Graham? He couldn't fathom that. And it was so thrilling just to be able to tell him that when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't just dying for Peter Ramsey's sins. He was dying for his sins. And so I'm going to ask you again now, savior of the world, you know that about him? Savior of sinners? But you could know that he's savior of sinners. A lot of people in Canada, and they say, oh yeah, I know he died for everybody. He died for all our sins. But they're not going to heaven. Level 3, if that's all they know, they're not going to heaven. We read in Matthew chapter 27, they yelled at him, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Level 2. Savior of others. You see it back there? Savior of others. Say, well, I know he saved others. My, what a change. Maybe you have a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you have a mother. Maybe you know someone. And you know they're real. A Muslim boy, university student, said to me, he was sitting with a young Christian in a wheelchair on campus, and we went out for coffee one day. And Talal from Oman, his father was a minister of natural resources, he stayed at our place for a little while and said his prayers in our bedroom. We gave him our bedroom, and he said, I believe that there are some who are saved. He said, I believe Dale is saved. He said, but there are a lot of people in campus who say they're saved and they sleep around and they drink like everybody else. How do you explain that, Peter? You know what Talal was saying? He was saying, I believe some are saved. He's saying there's a lot who say they are and they aren't. This Muslim boy said to me, I think if I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins, I wouldn't want to do anything that would displease him or make him unhappy. Maybe you know that he's the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners, and maybe you know someone who is genuinely saved. They truly have a relationship with God, but it's missing in your life. You say he saved others. I think the worst thing in eternity would be to know I'm down here, but I know others are saved. Others are in heaven. Jesus Christ died for sins, and others trusted him. But I never had a personal, precise, precious moment in my life when I was saved. He saved others. You might have a moment when you were baptized. I was baptized. But my baptism isn't taking me to heaven. I have the morning, the first time I ever took communion. I have that experience. But my salvation isn't taking, that's not taking me to heaven. I am going to heaven because I received Christ as my personal Savior. And so you understand what I'm saying then. Level 4, Savior of the world, wonderful to know, but is a person, if that's all they know, they're not going to heaven. Savior of sinners, thrilling to be able to tell anyone, anywhere, that he is a Savior of sinners, that he saved others. But can you say, he's my Savior? Did Christ do anything for you that's changed what you thought of him? Nobody was always a Christian. So did Christ do something for you that has changed what you've thought of him? A lot of people say, oh no, I know Christ. And well, I don't know how to respond to that. Like a lot of people say, oh, Taylor Swift. Yes, I know Taylor. Miley Cyrus. Yes, Miley Cyrus. Justin Bieber. Of course, who doesn't? Brad Pitt. Yeah, we know him. Did you get a text from them today? Quite a difference, isn't it? A lot of people say they know Christ. What's the difference between heaven and hell? When a person can say, he's my Savior. Mary. Savior means rescuer. Mary realized she was a sinner and she needed to be rescued. That's what the word means. And Mary could say, my Savior. Level 1 are the only ones who will be in heaven. And what are you tonight? As the meeting continues, are you level 4, level 3, level 2? Or can you say tonight, thank God shake our hands at the door and say, thank God, he is my personal Savior. I love him. He died for my sins.